First Epistle of John, chapter 4, from the verse number 11 to the verse number 21.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also.
Verse number 11 is opening to us an important part of understanding the gospel correctly. If I think that I deserved any favor with God by anything I ever did on my own, my thinking is contrary to the truth of the gospel. Every good gift, every blessing, has its beginning in God. Every good deed I ever did is God's work from its conception to its accomplishment. If my knowledge and understanding of God's love is correct, I know that only God's grace is the power working in me both to will and to strive for his good pleasure. All praise is his. Against all the craftiness and deception of the evil one stands this beyond comparison greater wisdom and grace of the Almighty, justice against sin and salvation for the sinner, both in God's own Son. Looking into the depth of this truth, we see the Father's face in the Savior. Verse 11 is applying this revelation in our daily walk, charity for one another. God loves me not to remain as I am, but to grow toward the stature of his Son, that the face of our blessed Redeemer may be seen in our living as his pilgrims that journey to the heavenly fatherland. Loving one another in Christ is our new nature, our new life, our following the example of God's firstborn. Charity is the work of Christ's Spirit in our resurrected soul. Loving one another, we encourage one another toward the same goal God has appointed for us, Christ's statue. Verse number 12 brings back an old truth, seeming controversy, some unanswered questions in my mind, and also endless and measureless glory and majesty of the Almighty God the Father. With all of these questions, I can only wonder how little I know my Lord Jesus from the Bible. In Exodus 33:20, God told Moses, "Thou canst not see my face." In Matthew 5:8, "The pure hearts shall see God." In John 1:18, "No man has seen God at any time." John 6:46 seems to confirm this man's inability of seeing the Father God. In the 1 Timothy 6:16, "No man has seen nor can see God." In John 14:9, "To see the Lord Jesus is to see the Father. God is one." In the Revelation 1:17, John fell down as dead at the feet of Christ, revealed to John in glory, the glory of the Father. Once I climbed up a mountain peak. About last 100 feet, the path was so steep that only using the stairway cleft in the cliffs, I reached the tip. Seeing the world way down, I was nauseated. I felt far above my natural environment. I needed some time to adjust my mind before I was able to admire the awesome horizon. That experience brings to my mind some thoughts about many of the faithful believers. They received as much knowledge of God as the Lord gave to them. They pursued faithfulness and received more revelation than they could have asked for. This great and awesome God, invisible, but in His Son revealed to the mankind, has chosen His residence in the heart of man, and His presence in this tiny dwelling is evidenced by His love for His children. If we love one another, God dwells in us. God's amazing grace in Christ. In disobedience, no man can see clearly any part of God, as the Father has revealed Himself to the mankind in the soul and body of His Son. In rebellion, sinner has only darkness of sin and confusion of mind. No sinner in his sin can see God, just as a blind man cannot see the light. In submission to God's word and will, a soul is on the way of life and constant discovery of that wonderful grace of our Heavenly Father. From the bliss of the heavenly glory, the Son of God came to save us. This salvation, so mysterious, so amazing, He offers to us as a free gift. When we turn to the Savior and cast ourselves at His feet, instead of our darkness, we had the light of His gospel. And the desire to live in harmony with God's word replaced our confusion of rebellion. We were given the ability to see the Father in the Son as our Savior. As long as we grow in the faith and in the knowledge of the Master, we are far from the perfect, complete knowledge of Him. We can be amazed with the abundance of His revelation, but we know that all we can grasp is only a microscopic atom of God's glory and majesty as a whole. I perceive that in that endless eternity, worshiping God continually will never be able to end our soul's amazement, beholding our Creator and Savior in glory, worshipped by all saints. I perceive that when we see Him as He is, there will always be more to see of Him as He is. The verse number 13 is teaching us some spiritual dimensions unknown to the physical world of only 3 dimensions. Here the tiny creature, a redeemed soul, is in the greatest of all, but also the Almighty One is in the tiny one. Only God's amazing love, love everlasting, made all of it. The ancient question the disciples addressed to the Lord Jesus in Matthew 19:25 answered in the verse 26, God the Father answered in His own Son, our only Redeemer, our only Savior, the Master of our salvation and in the new life He gave us. Our new life in Christ is a part to that answer of the old question. All glory belongs to God, the trustworthy evidence of us being His dwelling place on this earth is the Spirit of Christ, His loving lordship, giving us power to do His will from the heart, as we find it in John 1:12 and in 1 John 5:3. Living in His Spirit brings new, clearer and brighter vision of Christ continually. let our prayer and endeavor be Christ's living testimony in this world. We in Him, and He in us, He, the only Savior, from the Father sent to the mankind. Living in Christ is the victory and the most pleasant living, not to the flesh, but to the new man born from above. Confession in the verse number 15 includes leaving the gospel to be salt to the earth and light to this world. Nothing else and none else can give us as much purpose and meaning to our whole being. In no other way we can experience the abundance of God's love we have in Christ. In the verse 14, the Father sent the Son. In the number 15, we see the true salvation experienced. In 16, the fellowship is firmly established and growing in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And in the number 17, sanctification is in progress toward perfection of the statue of Christ till His call. The important task of all established believers is uninterrupted growing in the relationship with the Father by the following Savior's guidance, boldly proclaiming the gospel, resisting sin, loving one another. The last part of the verse 17 offers additional test against worldliness. We are in Christ. From the world we are separated. In the Savior we are united. If the world rejected the gospel and accepted our teaching, we are not in the world as Christ is in the world. When we are living in the Spirit of the Lord, we are going to be regarded as He is. Our courage in sharing and presenting our Christian testimony in the world is the introduction to the boldness we are going to have at our Lord's judgment day. As the Lord is with us here to confirm His testimony through us, so He will be there to call us the blessed of His Father. The entire Bible teaching is our armor to resist evil and follow the Lord's Spirit, and to keep His word. God's truth is the light to our path, and as soon as we see the danger of stepping aside, we need our Master's correction to secure us on His way of the gospel and salvation. Love deficiency is resulting in anxiety. God's love is perfect. My love for God is that portion and degree of His love that I received in my heart. If I retained in my mind and my heart any known sin, negligence, or intentional ignoring God's word and will, I will fear God. I will fear judgment. The Spirit's rebuke is toward me. God has sent His Son to save me. I received His salvation trusting and obeying Him. He is continually supplying love, strength, and confidence to my soul. The difficulties, sufferings, and burdens He will allow me to experience are my ministry. He makes everything good for me. I have no reason to fear His decisions. My personal growth, edification, doing His will, loving my fellow believers, He has provided all. He has not promised ease and effortless life in luxury and idleness. He is not making me useless, sick. My soul and body, my mind and heart, ability and opportunities, time, possessions, health and sickness, life and death, everything is a gift and a blessing in God's love for me, to serve my Savior and my brothers, to be my Lord's salt to the earth and His light to the world. That's my Savior's teaching. That is my Father's good pleasure. What a privilege and what glory it is to be united with the Lord Jesus already here and on the way to the bliss of His everlasting kingdom. What confidence and security are in having the love of the Father. There is no room for fear. And that is the teaching of the Savior. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's will to give you the kingdom. I learned these words long ago when I was young. Now I'm old and still learning the proper application. Trust and obey is the golden rule. Every good gift and blessing is my Lord's gift. Every good deed of mine is His work in me. My private property, my personal possessions are only my inconsistencies and failures. The best and the only proper action for me with this load of my private things is to cast it away. I accept the fact that God's power is revealed in my weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:9. But when my weakness is strong, I am weak. And that is not the teaching of our Lord. As the Lord is in this world, so are we. This is the time of our labor. This is the time of war against darkness. The Lord is giving us all we need for life in godliness, 1 Peter 1:3. Godliness with contentment is a great gain, 1 Timothy 6:6. Verse 19 confirmed the fact that genuine love in the heart of God's children flows from the heart of God. It is not our private invention, but His work in us. Verse 20 is protecting us from self-deception. The Lord is giving us the ability to align our walk with His word and not to get snared in satanic devices. In Matthew 5:46, the Lord is teaching us the fact that even sinners have some love. Their love is towards selfish survival. When the Spirit of the Lord gave us a new heart and mind, we learned to love for God's sake and purpose. He revealed to us the source of evil in the evil spirit. The evildoers are Satan's victims. Patient love in the wisdom from above is a strong power against sin and darkness. Thinking that I can love God and at the same time be cold, loveless for His children can be self-deception only. The Lord heals His people of hate and blesses them with love. I need this understanding. A brother sinning against me is my opportunity to overcome evil with good. It can be a long battle. Some sins persist a long time in the heart of a believer. We must pray for patience and the whole armor of godliness. There is no temptation greater than God's power. The Lord is giving us all we need to endure until His appointed time of deliverance. No battle will last forever. In Christ we have true victory. We must not be oppressed with carnal reasoning that the struggle is endless, too hard for us, that we are forsaken in our own fight. The Lord will never leave us alone. He is always with us. This is His battle. His victory is ours. The Lord is guiding us to love the loveless also. He has done that to us, and He never gave up on us. Some trials and persecutions end up in martyrdom. Many tests of our faithfulness lasted much shorter time than we expected. I have my personal experience with our Lord's grace. Living under communist dictatorship, I was sentenced 10 years of hard labor and strict confinement. Some of the officials told me that I am going to leave my bones in the prison. The prison management struggled to find a prisoner for the confidential job of accounting. They needed a Christian because previously the officials committed fraud with the help of the accountants that were prisoners. Some 2.5 years I worked in an office envied by many officials, let alone the prisoners. I had the privilege and the blessings of private prayer time, Bible reading and study right on the shore, and I was given food for the officers. The days were flying fast. Upon my request, I was transferred to a prison hospital job. I had a private bedroom in an orchard, one of the most desirable spots on that prison island. Because of some political changes, before 5 years were over, I was released, free. The 5 years, 1 month less, were the most memorable 5 years of my journey yet. Our Lord's presence and His loving care were so evident that I have no words to express my gratitude. Years passed, and a time of political turbulences came upon that government. I do not know how many of the officials lost their life, how much the others suffered. If God appointed for me to really die in the prison, would that be worse than a stroke or any of the long-lasting terminal sicknesses? I have no pride. The Lord gave me this easy task. He decided what service is for this weak servant of His. I have much to be grateful for to Him. For a child of God, it is only natural to love God's children. Our enemy knows how delightful and powerful God's love is, and Satan is working all he can to make us loveless, just hating. I must resist the evil spirit and worldliness, lest I suffer defeat and become useless witness. If I allowed my enemy to confuse my mind by his lies, I must increase my prayers and keep my Lord's commandment to love my brother, so I can receive my Lord's victory on both sides. The adversary's intention is to make me feel nobody has any love anymore. I need to remind me that the devil is deceiving all others around me, telling them the same accusation against me. They might be struggling just as I am. In my prayers, I must call on the Lord's name. I may not fall in the snare of Satan by joining him in repeating his accusation that nobody has any love. My love work is not proclaiming how good or useless I am, nor to discourage others telling them that love does not exist. Christ, our Redeemer and Master, is the true love. He is that abundant heavenly love of the Father, given, made available to us. If I masquerade me with loveless manners, the evil one might tell me that there is no way, no opportunity to share all that sincere love I possess. He would not like me to realize the fact, the reality. The truth might be that I allowed him to make me very selfish and carnal. Instead of living in the Spirit of Christ, I am blinded by my carnality and defeat. All that because I believed the liar. My prayer includes all God's children. I don't know them all, but He does. I pray for my own faithfulness and endurance and for God's help and blessings to all His redeemed ones, including those still not knowing God as the true God and the only Savior. God knows it all. Our Lord is our deliverer, and the healing blessings are in His hands. His commandment to love with His kind of love is given to us to make our journey victorious in His power. Trust and obey the Master. That is the way of salvation, the way of life, the way of love. God is love. We should be aware of another possible trick the spirit of error can use. Satan desires to use the word of God misapplied. He will tell us to use some words from the book for some purpose entirely different, not intended. He tries to use the right words, but prematurely. In some cases, the evil one will repeat some of our Lord's teaching prematurely and so frequently that we will still think that it is not the time yet when there is the evidence of the Lord's appointed time and application. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Lord ends a trial. In James 5:7, our patience is encouraged to last till the day of the Lord. And in the Acts 12:13-17, the brothers did not expect the day of the Lord's deliverance at the time appointed by God. The Lord has His perfect time for all He is doing. It may not be my time, it may not be yours, but in His own time the Lord will provide. May the Lord keep us in prayers and on guard as we wait for His own time to provide all He knows we need in doing His good and pleasant will. Our Father knows perfectly why He gave us this commandment in His Son, to love one another. Yes, He knows, and we are learning. We ask Him to teach us from the Word, by the Spirit, in our daily walk. May the Lord make us His children, His beloved, loving and lovable. We cannot love God and be loveless for His children. We cannot love His children without loving their Father and ours. It is impossible to love the Father and to reject the Son. We cannot follow the Son in love and have no love for the Father. The true heavenly love comes from the Father, thrives in the Son, and grows in us.